Welcome to the Vault Podcast, classic music reviews, presented by IV Creative. Now, here's your hosts, B. Cox and the crew.
Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Vault Podcast, classic music reviews, presented by IV Creative. It's a perspective of the classics from a fresh point of view. We appreciate you for taking your time and lending your ears to our perspective. You could be anywhere listening to anything, but you're right here with us, so we thank you. With you today is yours truly, B. Cox, and with me I have a very special guest here in the vault, joining us here for another album review. First off, before we get started, I want to give a shout out to all listeners out there stateside and worldwide for continuing to support the show. We've had a little bit of a lull in this season six, but we are going to end this season six off strong as we are heading into the month of June. This is Black Music Month, so make sure y'all go check out The Vault at vaultclassicpod.com. Go check us out on social media, on the website. You can go to see all the back catalog of episodes. Check out our guest page, and our guest will be on there now that he's joining us for the very first time. See all the people that featured as guests on The Vault. Make sure you go to our merchandise store and cop some merchandise. You know, we have the t-shirts. We also have the hats. Make sure you go check us out and get something fly for the summertime and support the show. Once again, that is vaultclassicpod.com. Closing out season six strong as we head into Black Music Month. We got a lot of good topics to come up with, and then we're going to take a break and we're going to be heading into our summer break before we get into season seven. And season seven is expected to bring a lot of surprises here as well, so make sure y'all tapped in as well. Social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, you know the vibes. Go ahead and check us out, vaultclassicpod.com. And joining us today in the vault, a very special guest. Now, I have a great amount of respect for this brother and what he does. He has an amazing platform. So amazing that I've joined him not one, not two, but three times. If you actually bring in the amount of time that I've joined him from another podcast with Raw Sex, I've been on there now four times. I want to introduce everybody to a very special friend of mine. He is, of course, the owner, producer, host of MacTastic TV, my brother Mac, none other than the owner of MacTastic TV, and also Cigar Chats with Mac that is burning up the internet right now. Go check his numbers, because men lie, women lie, but numbers do not lie. My brother's numbers are climbing up the charts. You see him, of course, his subscribers are rising. Lots of topics. Him and I talk hip-hop, we talk music, but he does everything. He talks about relationships, he talks about sex, talks about business, a lot of different other things that he covers on there. It's a full gamut of topics he covers on his platform, and he's here today to cover a classic album here today on The Vault. So welcome to The Vault, my brother Mac of MacTastic TV, sir. How are you, brother?
Man, I'm blessed, man. I'm happy to be here, man. That's that intro sound good. I'm going to have to take you on the road with me, man.
Hey, hey man, what did Steve Harvey say on the Kings of Comedy? Does I bring you out or does I bring you out?
You bring me out. I was like, damn, you know what? You're right. I do own MacTastic TV.
Yes, sir. Oh, man, it is great to have you here, man. For those of y'all who don't know, I've been on Mac's platform three times for our State of Hip Hop trilogy now, and it's going to extend beyond a trilogy, I'm betting. Those of y'all, of course, who have been there and have seen it, you know what we have. But for those who have not tuned in, Brother Mac, please tell the people what it is we had for the first two entries of the State of Hip Hop trilogy that we have so far, and also let them know about part three, which is going to be coming out very, very soon. Just give the folks a taste as far as what they can expect of what we had go on there.
Well, absolutely, man. Well, first of all, you all, B. Cox is being real modest about his contributions to the platform. To be quite honest, man, B. Cox, bringing him on changed the whole complexion of MacTaxi TV, because it was just primarily, you know, I was sprinkling in hip hop and people start liking it. And then I was like, well, you know what, man, this guy's a music savant. I was like, well, let's see, maybe I get him on, you know, let's see how our, you know, how our synergy works. Well, not only did our synergy work, we have one of the top trending videos together breaking down the career and discography of Nasir Jones. I mean, if you want to hear breakdown on why Nas is who he is now and what travailed him along the way and all these different things, my brother B. Cox did such a great job, man. It's trending. We're north of, I don't know how many, we're over, well over 10, 15, 20,000 views now. Mm-hmm. We talked about State of the Hip Hop 1. We talked about, of course, Nas. We talked about The Firm. We talked about nostalgic music that means a lot to us. So it got so good, I said, well, sounds nice, B. Cox. Let's do it twice.
Yes, sir.
Well, he come back again.
Yes, sir.
And not only does he show his ass the first time, he shows his ass again the second time. And the numbers keep climbing, because then B. Cox had the audacity to talk to make it make sense why Dame Dash felt the way he felt. Mm-hmm. We talked about Jay-Z, and he did a phenomenal job talking about Ready to Die, just opposed to Illmatic. If you are a hip-hop head, I challenge you to go listen to that and see if you don't come away with jewels. So
yeah,
after the reviews for that was so great, and then I was like, well, you know what? I ain't never been the dumbest guy in the world. How about we do this again? Because it sound like this is some Nas and Hit Boy type vibe right here. And I think we stumbled on something.
Yeah.
And guys, I'm going to tell you again, I'm privy to edit it before the world sees the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited about it. I try to keep it. I'm texting B. I'm shooting B. Cox. Man's like, yo, man, this is even doper.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He definitely did. Yeah.
I was like, B. Cox.
Yeah.
We shocked the world. And this time, the trilogy is even better because we covered all regions. We left no stones unturned.
Yeah.
And you're going to love this one. So that episode, part one of it, will be dropping June 21st. That's a Friday, June 21st. Just like when your albums drop,
yeah.
B-Cox and Mac, State of the Union, part one, trilogy three would drop. And then part two would drop sometime in July because it's just too good, and it's too good to give it all to y'all at one time. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just can't.
You heard it here first. You're there first. State of the Union of Hip Hop. You hear it, man. Mac Tassi TV and B-Cox of the Vault. Make sure y'all go check it out. And then make sure y'all are going to his YouTube channel. He's going to drop him again at the end of this review, man. And make sure you are subscribing to this brother's channel, because this hip hop content is really entertaining. But the other stuff that's on there as well, oh, some of it'll make your jaw drop.
He's talking about purple panties. B-Cox, may I just
yes, talk sir. A second about absolutely. Purple panties? Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Since you can't sit at the table.
Yes, sir.
Purple panties, it's a panel format. I realized that there was a need for men and women of, we're going to say 35 and above, to, you know, kind of have serious, mature conversation. You know, it talks about dating. There is some explicit content, but it's entertaining. It's done tasteful. Mm-hmm. But we talk about things that are plaguing individuals. Now, I know some people are married and, you know, and some people are single. But it's normally for a large demographic of single people. Hey, why haven't I found Mr. Right? Well, maybe you've already met Mr. Right, but you were Mrs. Wrong, or the inverse. So it's a myriad of different topics. Yeah. I have people from cryptocurrency on there.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'm a buffet. But I will tell you.
Yeah.
The number one requested dish. Mm-hmm. It's Mac and B-Cox.
Hey.
State of the Union of Hip Hop.
Yeah, man. That's good stuff, man. He has great content, great conversation, stuff that literally have you sitting watching for hours, you know, scrolling for hours on one channel. And I dare you to find a content creator out there, independent, you know, no big backing, no nothing like that, is doing things what this brother is doing. So make sure y'all go check him out on YouTube. And also mark your calendars for June 21st as well. So ooh, for that part three, first part of part three. But today, Max here to help me break down the classic album. Y'all know what we do.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're going to take you back today. What brother, me, and Mac are going to do is take you back to 1994. We're going to take you back to the debut EP. We don't do a lot of EPs here on The Vault, mostly LPs and full-length albums. This one is a special case. We're going to take you back to 1994 and June 21st, 1994, ironically enough, to the debut EP of none other than hip-hop supergroup Bone Thugs and Harmony, Creeping on the Come Up, recorded between 1993 and 1994. On Ruthless and Relativity Records, recorded at a number of different studios, Dirt Biker Studios, Audio Achievement Studios, and Black Hole Recording Studios, with a runtime of 29 minutes and 44 seconds, just shy of a half an hour. The producers on this, the late, great Eazy-E executive producing, this is his group, DJ Yella of NWA fame and West Coast legend, and then newcomers during that time, DJ Unique and also Rhythm D, producing the tracks on this EP for the Cleveland Quintet of Bone Thugs and Harmony, Brother Mac, who was discovered by Eazy-E and signed them to Ruthless Records. And really, for those of y'all who know the history of Ruthless Records and all of the star power they had in the late 80s going into the early 90s before the collapse, it was a powerhouse of a record label before you had Death Row, right? Standing right alongside what Def Jam was in its glory days in the mid 80s, heading into the late 80s. And after the departure of Dr. Dre, the departure of Ice Cube, the departure of many other groups during that time, there were a few groups that were only there that were holding Ruthless up as far as an actual label, because so many of them have gone. But the addition and also emergence of Bone led to a resurgence in Ruthless Records, from the ashes that were left behind all the turmoil that happened in the early 90s. Now, this Bone Thugs and Harmony group was exactly what Ruthless and Eazy-E needed. They were struggling during that time, and it was ushering in a new era of rap, where we were starting to see the map start to expand upon what we currently were seeing, which you saw it was East and it was West. Well, during this time, right around 93, 94, is when you start seeing the rest of the maps that filled in from South and the Midwest and everything in between start to come in. That was just the whole part of it. They brought a whole unique style to it, but being signed with by Eazy-E, as we mentioned on part three, Max says the godfather of gangster rap, and a group that was modeled right in that image of that gangster rap image, but with a whole different style than anything that Eazy had ever done before. And with that being said, let's go ahead and get into it.
First thoughts and reflections.
So, Brother Mac, you're up first, man. We like to take this moment to just reflect on the album. So give us an idea of you when you first heard Bone Thugs and Harmony. Could be the first single that came out. We all know what that first single was. And then eventually when you got into this debut EP and listened to it, what was on your mind and what were you thinking as you started listening to it? And then what were your impressions on it upon having listened to it a few times? And as that time passed, looking back on it, what do you think now?
You know, because I'm going to, man, sound like a carbon copy of what you say on my show, man. I'm in high school now.
Okay. Yeah.
So 1994, yeah. I am a junior in high school, man. And I remember hearing that beat, and I was like, you know, guys is driving down the street, D-Boys, and you hear this sound that you ain't never heard before, and this voice bolting out. It's a thug, it's rocking. You like, what the hell is that? And literally, I'm on the front porch. I can remember my grandma's front porch, and I'm looking at like, man, what is that? Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
And so a couple of my buddies was like, yeah, man, I think there's this new group out called Bone or something. I was like, what? Where are they? And so, man, then I saw the video. Shortly came out, and that video, B-Cox, I was just immersed. I couldn't take my eyes off a damn screen, man.
Yeah.
Because when I literally heard that song, and from the moment that Lazy Bone opened up his mouth, you feeling the strip that rumps, that boss said, whoa, yeah. What is this, man? And brother, hey, I was blown away. I had to go look at the album, man, and I got it. I looked at the album, viewed the album. The songs that really banged, they banged. I know we're going to talk about the other ones that banged, but just initially, I was just blown away by the cadence, the sing-songy style, man, the harmony, and brother, it took Chicago by storm.
Oh, yeah, and that's your part of the world right there, man. Cleveland and Chicago, right there in the Midwest. And that Midwest, sort of Midwest and Mid-South all had a very unique style and different stylings to them, right?
Yes,
and to your point, that summer, I'm actually getting ready to start middle school.
Oh, damn, because thanks for telling me that.
Crazy. But then I'm going to tell you this. I first found about them, and it was me watching The Box. You know, The Box. Everybody know The Box, man. And this is not to be confused with Video Music Box that was based in New York City. Uh-huh. Which also deserves some props. But The Box that people saw nationwide, the one where you could call in that number, request a video for a certain amount of fee, and they would play that video for you. Well, when this dropped in the summer of 94, I just remember when you get those little things in between videos, and then the video loads up in The Box, you know what I'm saying? And then that video first comes on. And then when it had that speech of, we're not against rap, we're not against rappers. But we are against those thugs. And then that guitar comes in and you hear this voice. And just when that, it's the thuggest brother's bone. And then, like you said, when that verse drops for Crazy Bone, it's just like, wow. It just literally just all hit at one moment, right? Like the perfect moment. That was the perfect moment. Bone jumped onto the scene during that moment. And that video ran stuff on The Box that summer. It was on so frequently. Every time, you know, you turn around, for those of us who used to watch The Box, you would sit and watch it, and then you would change it, and then, like, come back, and maybe 45 an hour later, the same video is coming back up again. You come back 2 hours later, you see the same video coming back up again. That's what it was. Then they made it on over to Rap City. And then when I actually got to middle school that fall, that's when I saw the real effect of how big Bone was as a cultural moment, right? Not only was everybody listening to their stuff in their tape decks, right? Well, we were still at Mass using Sony Walkmans during this time. So everybody, and everybody had this Creeping on a Come Up debut EP, right? Then I didn't just hear it in the headphones of everybody who was listening to it. Stylistically, I saw things change. Dudes started growing their hair out more. Mm-hmm. And they started getting cornrows. Everybody knows you saw Bone, they all had cornrows, they had their hair twist or plaits. It seems like everybody started doing that now. You saw the way that some of them were dressed. They had the backwards bandana tied up in the front, you know? They had some of them had the khakis or with the plaid shirts, styling just like the way it was, the way they used to do in the West Coast. You saw a lot of that amongst middle school boys. And during that time, man, you have to understand at that age, boys are very, very impressionable. And so many of the things that we get the influences during that era, a lot of it came from music, right? Sports and from music. And so you saw a lot of that amongst my peers that, damn, these dudes are pretty much copying what is now becoming everybody's favorite group, you know? Mm-hmm. And then for people to try to sit and listen and decipher this cadence, right? This rap, somewhat rapid fire cadence, something that wasn't as frequently heard amongst most parts in the country, right? A lot of folks will go back and tell you that that cadence had been around for some time, especially in the Midwest, you know? You from Chicago, so you know what I'm saying? And folks from Memphis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Folks from Memphis say the exact same thing with 3-6, right? But for most of us, especially where I was from, we wasn't used to being hearing rap like that. Okay. And then to hear them and really rap, right? I mean, we not talking about some necessarily, Bone wasn't no lyrical beast. But to hear them literally spit and rap, I mean, this shit sounded, it wasn't just beyond just the melodic part of it. It just sounded like awesome, right? The flow was on point. That was really the biggest selling proposition. Their flow was immaculate in some cases. So you get through the EP, man, listen to it. Man, that became a big part of my Cutting Grass soundtrack during that summer. And man, I used to cut some motherfucking grass to that EP, Mac. I'm trying to tell you, bro. But it got me through some things. It gave me energy, though, man. It gave me energy on hot ass days when it would be 12:30, 1 o'clock, and the sun is at its highest point in the day. Yeah, it would get me through them times where I get through cut that grass and make that money, man. I don't know how many times I'd be sitting there getting tired, and I would just sit there and rewind on that back part of the tape to that for the love of money to keep me going. To keep me going.
Started on that one.
To keep me going. You know? Yes. But, man, overall, now looking back on it and seeing what Bone did, even after they released East 1999 and BTNS Resurrection and what the individual members have done since then, what I am mindful of when I listen to it now is that it's easy when time has passed for people to discount what you have done, right? But like we said during your part three, and I said so many times, it's kind of hard for me to explain it to you if you weren't right there in the moment.
Come on now.
And in the moment, they were big. In the moment, they were damn near like rock stars. In the moment, it wasn't a caricature or something to make fun of, because it really was a big, big cultural moment to the fact that they were kind of like in the middle of everything. And then to make it up for the fact that they were part of this resurgence and reemergence of Eazy-E into the consciousness of a group that wasn't based in Compton, but was based halfway across the country. You know, they helped to bring Ruthless back, and they helped to really kind of put Eazy back in our consciousness after everybody had seen what Death Row and Dre had done and Snoop had done and everything. That was really a perfect moment to capture. And then to see this group coming out with a different style, unique flow, was vicious, had unique stylings, the hair, everything. It was something that you really can't explain unless you were right there in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's because you couldn't even said it better. When I think about the impact, man, of the group and just how Brothers in Chicago, now you got me thinking about the fashion. Can't start wearing, you know, the khaki pants with the plaid shirts. And, you know, that kind of was already a Midwest thing, but you kind of saw it a lot more.
Yeah.
But you got to give them brothers credit, because they were the first major rap group. I don't care what, no, I don't about nobody else from Cleveland that made you know that they were from Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
And I, man, nobody else had done that. And for Eazy to have the type of vision that he had for that group and see that they were unique. Because, yeah, we rap fast and we have different, you know, different, you know, staccatos and all of that. In Chicago, we did never, nobody had ever put rapid lyrics with harmony, and they were so in sync with each other. To B-Cox, your point, when those guys rap, you could tell they really came up together
practicing that because they could finish each other's lines damn near. And it was such symmetry, man, when they rap, brother.
Yeah. Cohesion. And I'm reminded of the time when I was Busy was on. He gave that. I don't know whether it was an Instagram video or YouTube or whatever, when he talked about how one of them dudes, I don't know whether it was either Offset or Quavo, said that, oh, to Migos, the best, biggest rap group of all time, right? And he was talking about some, oh, well, the way y'all was flowing, like, we have been doing that damn near almost 25 years ago. You know what I'm saying? That type of shit that y'all was doing, we've been doing that type of shit starting in 1991. That's a fact. He said, when you get up in this rarefied air, when you get in these type of houses, the doors close differently when you open them up and they close behind you. You know? And again, if you're not from this era, if you came up with, and no disrespect to Migos, man, and the folks, and those of y'all came up in this era, if you didn't really come up, man, I can't really explain to you how big these dudes were, really. I can tell you, but being in the moment can't really, unless you were there, you really don't know. So, yeah, and now we're going to go ahead and talk about what we really love to talk about is the highlights.
Highlights and lowlights.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So, Matt, this is an EP, so it's short. It's less than 30 minutes. There are only really, but I would say, four really official songs on here, 4 to 5 official songs on here. Just go through your highlights and the tracks that you listen to, man, and the few tracks that are on here. What were some of your standout tracks in the moments that you listened to that you loved?
Yeah, well, for me, the highlights are obviously, man, that, you know, the aforementioned one we named, Thuggish Ruggish Bone, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be honest with you, man, what's really stole my heart in B-Cox, I'm all familiar with cutting grass and shoveling snow.
Yeah.
So for me, man, that song, For the Love of Money, man, that was, man, I probably bought 4 or 5 damn bootleg, because back in the day, the bootlegs, cassette man's where I got all my cassettes at damn L station in Chicago. That's just how we had to get it back then. Mm-hmm. But For the Love of Money resonated with me, man, because first of all, Eazy-E's voice in that song, man.
Smacking on the straight slanging rocks. Oh, shit.
Here come the motherfucking cops.
That right there, man, grabbed me. So I would say if I had to rank them, my first favorite song, man, was For the Love of Money. Of course, Thuggish Ruggish Bone. But now this isn't really a song, but crazy the darkness you have when you're young. That damn Mr. Ouija.
Oh,
for
yeah.
some damn reason, that shit grabbing. That's some dark shit to listen to. As a 40-year-old man, I'm like, what the hell was I listening to? More murder.
That shit
just pulled me in, man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I like to know Surrender, B-Cox. So I would have to stack rank a man in that order, man. That for me.
Yeah, well, for me, man, Thuggish Ruggish Bone, of course, we talked about the significance of how big that was, man. That West Coast influence is heavy on that. That DJ Unique, man, that damn DJ Unique and the work that he did and laid really his footprint and really his thumbprint on Bone started right there with Thuggish Ruggish Bone, right? You'd have talked about For the Love of Money. And I think even more so than Thuggish Ruggish Bone, man, for the last 30-something years, is how big this song won, how it was. And then you mentioned it. Eazy's presence on that song took that song to the next level because he didn't need to be on the song, right? But he did. And the fact that he's placed square right dab in the middle of the song, like you have the first verse by Flesh, then the second verse by Lazy, and then right in there, right in between Busy and Crazy, you have Eazy right in the middle of that joint with his verse with a completely different flow than everybody else, doing it like the only way that Eazy-E could, right? Yeah. I mean, delivered that verse as perfectly as Eazy-E could, right? And it fit perfectly in the song. It didn't really disrupt the timing or anything, the tempo of the song or anything, because they got right back into it and was Busy picked up right after that Eazy-E verse and just kept it moving, man. So I'm always encouraged in hearing that song, man. And then the background vocals by the late, great Jewel, obviously, man, just took that song, just like Shatasha Williams took Thuggish Ruggish Bone to another level with her ad-libs and that hook. Jewel took For the Love of Money with her ad-libs and that hook to a whole nother level, Right there, man. And that song now has been sampled by so many people now. That, courtesy of DJ Yella. And that is, to, I would say, among all the great things, probably in one of Yella's top five best produced tracks ever, right? Absolutely. And he's a West Coast legend. This is a man who's produced for NWA. He's produced, of course, Easy Does It on him for Eazy-E. Also right. for JJ Fad. And that right there is a top five track that Yella has produced. Other than that, getting into the other tracks, No Surrender, I'm right there with you, man. Is that damn medicine-ass piano in the background? I mean, that just screams like some West Coast like type production. Like, you know what I'm saying? It sounded sinister, really, with that, with the vocal effect in the background. Versus on point, as always, as usual. And then when you get into Down For My Thing, that really, I mean, if I'd have known any better, I would have thought that would have been a West Coast track for somebody as well, too, man. Those Moog synths and everything. I mean, just the styling and that just absolutely out of this world. The intro, just that East 99 is where you find me singing that. Yeah, yo, baby.
Talk to him, Peacocks.
You know, Ouija Board, yes, was very, very ominous. But then that last track, had the last track be basically For the Love of Money, with an extra guitar underneath of it. Man, we used to use that joint at school and freestyle on the back of, in the back of school, waiting for the bus at fire drills. We used to use that all the time, the freestyle. You know what I'm saying? Because the track was just that damn bad. We used to sit there and listen to that, try to freestyle all the time. Middle school kids listening to that, man. But to hear that joint with that extra guitar underneath of it was a perfect way to be able to end that album out, man. And so by the time you get into it, man, you had this concise 30-minute EP of just the right amount of teaser material that would keep you wanting more, and they kept you with that. And then Bone kept the momentum going. They had features, they were featured on soundtracks, they were on the Show soundtrack, the Panther soundtrack. By the time they came out with East 99 Eternal, which was their debut LP, in the next year, 1995, they were already a cultural phenomenon by that time. Not even being out on the scene for a year, and they were already a cultural phenomenon during that time.
Yeah, absolutely, because they were, man. And you know, the thing about it, Bone, they don't get the credit they deserve. And you know, to pair it what you said, you had to just be there to understand those guys' impact. And they get lost. And I'm going to make sure something, because that we, the next time, our next collab, oh, man, you know, hint, hint, world, that we're going to definitely do a deep dive, man, into these brothers, man. You know, the way we do with their whole discography, because, again, their impact culturally, man, from this album alone with Eazy-E, it left you saying, man, what the hell are they about to do next? And then when you heard of another album coming, you couldn't wait. You salivating for a new project from these brothers because you had never heard like that before.
Yeah, yeah. And then not only that, I think it kind of kicked the door down for people to hear from other folks. You mentioned your hometown, Twista, Doom or Die. During this time, who's coming out? 3-6 Mafia had similar style. A lot of that group had the same similar type of style. It really did get people onto that type of style. Also from your hometown, Crucial Conflict. You know, so.
That is a fact. Hey, in the barnyard, goddammit.
Yeah. You know, which my boy Jay, who he hates, one of my co-hosts who's normally on here, my boy J.O., says he called Crucial Conflict Bone Light. He called him Bone Light.
Dang. Don't do my boys like that from the shot.
Bone Light. Hey, man. Yeah, man. Now we talk about the quotables.
Notable quotables.
So, you know, normally that during this section, we normally quote a verse, but we're not going to put myself and Brother Mac through that exercise today.
Thank you, brother.
But what we are going to do is we're going to name just a few or just a couple, maybe two or three of our standout verses from this album. So, Mac, I'll go to you first, man. What are a few of your standout verses from Creeping on the Come Up, man? Just you name maybe two or three of them.
No, I have about three, man. Maybe four. I would have to say with Thuggish Ruggish Bones, the headline in this whole thing, man, from the moment, and I believe that was Lazy. Correct me if I'm wrong, because
Lazy.
I think when he kicked it off, it was, you heard the hunger. You're like I said, you feeling the strength, that bump, that bump. And I'll say, what's this dude? And he grabbed me. And I'm not going to lie, man, Crazy and other the guys, man, and Wish, I didn't really pay them any attention. Mm. All I remember from that song was when Lazy kicked it off and Busy brought that shit home.
Yeah.
Busy closed that out with that. I said, God, brother, those are my two. From that, you know, no disrespect to the other gents, but those two guys really grabbed me and stuck out.
lazy and busy on that. And creeping on the, and I'm sorry, and For the Love of Money, of course, man, great, great godfather, West Coast rap, Eric Wright. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like I said, man, standing on a corner straight, slinging rocks. That one right there. But you got to give it to my man. I want to say that was crazy. That kid, his flow was insane on that, man. I believe that was crazy. His flow
ended
was
it
insane.
Off. Yeah,
he
yeah.
kicked it off. He, man, it's... His flow was insane. Man.
Crazy.
If you want, man, Crazy tore that shit up. So I'm going to have to say Crazy and Easy, you know, on that one. And then A Thug Is Ruggish, we got to go with Lazy and Busy, man, for me, bro.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good list, man, because that lines up. A lot of that lines up with what I had. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say Thug Is Ruggish Bone and give all of them a notable for that. And it's because each of them had a certain line or a couple of lines in there that was very notable. You mentioned Lazy kicking it off, but then you had basically Wish giving you For the Love of Money in that verse. He came up with it, got to make that money, man. It's still the same now, you know, during that verse. And then Crazy to me, very, very low key. I tell people his third verse on Thug Is Ruggish Bone is so very slept on, but man, that thing is vicious. And then of course, Busy ending it off, man. I mean, that was just one of those moments, right? That was just one of those moments. Creeping on the come up, the actual song itself. Before we get it down for my thing, Crazy's last verse on that joint, Ridiculous. On Creeping on the come up, the third and fourth verses, which were Lazy and Busy to end off the song. And that including Lazy's whole thing about talking about him robbing a jewelry store. Going through storytelling in that, once you follow the lyrics and listen to it, what he did, how he broke the window out of the jewelry store with a rock, jumped in, put a gun to the cashier's face, grabbed a couple of herringbones, a couple of chain links, this, that, a few diamond rings, and then got it in his sack and then rolled out because that was his come up, is that lick on the jewelry store, man. Lazy just kind of real, just lay back as he does, like not really for rapping fast, but just lay back as a motherfucker though, right? Lay back Lazy like wrong. Shit. Then when you get For the Love of Money, you mentioned Easy's verse, man. I'll just go ahead and say, man, Easy's verse, Busy's verse, and Crazy's verse to end it. Just, yeah, that was a perfect way to end that song, man. The perfect way to end the song with those three verses. You couldn't do it any better than that right there. That, to me, what I would say one of the best stretches is that Easy verse from Crazy's verse to end out the song. One of the best stretches on there, man. But this just Crazy verses throughout the whole joint. Listen, Don't Surrender has some great bars on there as well. But man, just it was amazing, like hearing some of these songs, man, and hearing some of the performances on here and to see what kind of level they would take it to on their very next album, man. Just incredible, incredible work.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, there were some notable verses on other songs, but when I had to pick my best, man, I just kept going back to, man, those highlights, man, those Thug Is Ruggish Bone and For the Love of Money, man. Like I said, this album right here, I just go back from a nostalgic purpose, what it did for the city of Chicago and B-Cox, and I want to, into what you just pointed out, it brought a light, man, to Chicago and the Midwest. And even though they were in Cleveland, but, you know, a region is a region.
A region is a region, man.
A region is a region, you know. Shit, somebody pops in San Diego, that's good for all of Cali. You know, when the Bay is jumping, that's still good for all of Cali. Or you know, when somebody from the South is budding, that brings eyes to the South. It's like, well, shit. Well, what else is down what here? Else or what else here? Is over here?
Over there, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you're right. The same thing with us, man. And that made people start. Wait a minute, adrenaline rush. Let's go back and let's listen to Adrenaline. Let's start paying attention to these different things, man. And, you know, even though it was Crucial Conflict, but hey, it gave some it put some eyes on Chicago as it well. Did. So I appreciate those brothers, man, for what they did for the whole Midwest, man.
It did. And, you know, it's crazy listening to Bone and then being introduced to different aspects of the Midwest and knowing that for me as a region, the Midwest is kind of tied together, especially upper Midwest. Yeah, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, you know, Columbus, Cincinnati. Heading over into Milwaukee, Kansas City. I didn't realize that folks in the Midwest was country like the way that they was until I started listening to folks like that. Country, man.
Well, but a bunch of country ass niggas that moved up from Mississippi and Alabama.
I know, man, but this is me at 12 years old. I didn't really know, man. I figured out, oh, that's why they sound like the way they do. Yeah,
country,
man.
Is hell in Midwest,
country is hell in Midwest, man. Hell yeah, man. Shit was wild, man.
That's dope.
Final verdict.
So, Brother Mac, we get here to the final stretch, man, the final verdict. This is where we figure out whether we think what we just reviewed, whether it's a classic, essential, dope, good, or just okay, or maybe something even worse than that. So I'll give it to you, Mac, our guest, to close us out. What rating are you giving this EP for a Bone Thugs and Harmony Crippin' on the come up?
I'm going to give it an essential, B-Cox. It's not a classic because their next album after that, Eternal 99, that's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic album, but that's not what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
This was an essential album for a myriad of reasons. For one, it was essential for putting them on the map. It was essential for the Midwest. It was essential for Eazy-E.
Mm-hmm.
It was essential for DJ Unique. It was essential for all the production. It was essential for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, man, sonically, it was essential at that time.
Yeah.
You know, stylistically, it was essential.
Yeah.
I can't, as you delineated on my platform what a classic album is, I can't deem it a classic,
mm-hmm,
because I know what that means, standing the test of time. And this album, it doesn't get the mention when you mention classics. Their next one gets the mention when you mention the classic ones.
Yeah.
Those are the bangers that was really on there. But I will deem this one very essential.
Yeah.
Very solid project for your debut, man. But kudos to the late great Eazy-E and all of those brothers from Bone, man. Essential album.
Yeah. I'm gonna say essential as well. I would say they are about three to four tracks. I would say about four tracks away of the similar quality to what they had on this album, on this EP, from it being a classic album. If they would have four more tracks on there, actual songs of there, mm-hmm, being actual content on there, similar, mm-hmm, to what they had, then this would be a classic album. To me, it's essential, though, for a lot of the same reasons that you said. The movement that it created with Bone and the culturally what they created amongst, like I said, my cohort of middle school boys, and seeing how they came up, how they dressed, how they spoke, the music that they listened to, their, mm-hmm, slang, all that stuff was all important of it. It did really help to put a big spotlight on that portion of the Midwest and on the style of rap that a lot of us would get to know over the next couple of years. We said Bone came out during the same time, you know, famously there's a feud between them and 3-6 Mafia about stylistically who created what. You see also Mac, my brother Mac there in Chicago, Twista, Do or Die, mm-hmm, Crucial Conflict. Yes, in Kansas City, you got folks like Tech N9ne, you know.
Yeah.
So you got a style that is going to come out of this period that is unique to a lot of Midwest folks that creates an identity for a part of a hip-hop culture, and then also stylistically creates something that can't be easily duplicated, you know. And if you do, people know who the hell you biting off of. So to me, this is essential. This was the last project, I believe, that Eazy was directly involved in before he passed in 1995. He brought these brothers to the forefront, and hip-hop wouldn't be the same for as long as they were together. And now, even 30 years later, we're looking at what they did, man, and amazed at what they were able to pull off, man. Because you can't have a conversation in 1994 in hip-hop and not talk about Bone. You cannot. You can't. So, here we are. Essential album. Mac and I both say that. Creeping on the Come Up by Bone, the EP dropping in 1994, famously on June 21st, 1994. So make sure y'all go hit us up on social media. Let us know what you think about the album. What are some of your favorite albums? And do you agree with Mac and I? Is it an essential album, or do you think it's a classic? Maybe you think it's dope. Hit us up and let us know. And famously, as we mentioned earlier today, June 21st is going to be the day where on MacTastic TV, yours truly and Mac will be doing the State of the Union of Hip Hop. The third part of the trilogy will be dropping.
Woo!
Once again, Mac, of course, we like to thank you for coming on. But before we sign out and peace out today, we wanted to give you a chance to big up all of your platforms. Tell the people where they can find you on social media, where they can find the YouTube channel. And other than State of the Union for part three coming up, what other stuff you got coming out that they need to check out, man, and be wary of?
Okay, well, good, man. Thank you, B-Cox. You can find me. I'm really simple. MacTastic TV and all my social media handles. I made it simple for the world. I'm not one of them guys. I like the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
MacTastic TV on all platforms. As it sounds, MacTastic phonetically. That's how it's said. That's how you can find me.
There you go.
MacTastic TV on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. As far as, you know what, again, like I said, headlining right now, me and the team, we're doing a deep dive into State of the Union of hip-hop with me and B-Cox Part 3. That's really where we're all drilled down on, because there's so many, golden nuggets in that interview that we got to make sure we get the right stuff out to the people. Like I said, Part 1 drops on the 21st, and Part 2 will be dropping about mid-July. So I'll be Cox know the date, and he'll be able to, you know, keep you guys apprised and things of that nature. Outside from that project right there,
I have another Purple Panties weekly a panel that comes up every Friday. You know, I haven't, you know, this week's topic, we haven't, you know, kind of figured that out yet. But, you know, last week, I can just tell you about last Friday's topics, you know, it was love languages and, hey, or is it love insecurities? We have those type of debates, you know what I mean? So it's always an open debate. Man, we just constantly dropping great content and trying to give the people, you know, something different and be original. Hey, so far, so good, man.
Yeah. So make sure y'all go in there at MacTastic TV. The man gave it to you. It's simple. Wherever you want to find him, that's where you're going to find him. IG, YouTube, wherever, yes, TikTok, all that good stuff. That's where you're going to find him. June 21st, man, part one of part three dropping on State of the Union of Hip Hop with myself and Mac.
Whew.
There on MacTastic TV. Make sure y'all go check it out, man. So hit him up, Brother Mac, as always. And he's not done. He's coming back to us again before we close out season 6. And it's going to be a good one, man. So make sure y'all get ready for that one, man. But as always, Brother Mac, thank you for joining us here in the vault. And we're going to see you when you're going to drop out once again as we close out season 6, brother.
Man, thank you, brother, for having me, man. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. And like I said, you family. So whenever you say come, I come, man. It's, you know, when your family asks you to show up, you don't ask why. You just show up. You figure out what they need when you get there.
Yes, sir. So, I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
God bless. And that is going to wrap up yet another edition of The Vault. Please make sure you are visiting us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com. There you can learn more about the show, check out our past episodes, join our mailing list, leave a review, or if so inclined, you can leave us a voice note. Click the blue microphone in the bottom right-hand corner to leave us a voice note to let us know what you think about the show, or to just show us some love. To support the show, click the coffee cup shaded in yellow in the bottom left-hand corner to access our Buy Me a Coffee page. On Buy Me a Coffee, you can give a small monetary donation to support the show to ensure that we can keep the vault open for many years to come. You can also visit us on social media at Vault Classic Pod on IG, Twitter, and on TikTok. Also hit us on YouTube and our Facebook page. Like and follow us on social media. Subscribe to the pod and the YouTube channel. We do it here all for you. We appreciate the support, and if you have a friend, tell a friend, and make sure that friend tells a friend. Always remember to keep your headphones on and your music loud, but not too loud. And as we close, we'd like to remind everyone to dream big, because dreams are the basis for creation. Always create, motivate, and elevate, because you were never destined or created to stay stationary or ordinary in this life. And on that note, we say peace.
Thank you for listening and coming into The Vault. Please subscribe and visit us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com.